God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may... 41. Number 41. As far as it is necessary for the collection. Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is not sure, is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way. Number 41. We read in Genesis 3, verse 8, that after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit in paradise, when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That was immediately the fruit of the sin of Adam. There was before that never any fear in their heart. There was no unrest at all, and never ashamed. And the reason that the life in paradise was so easy, that was, of course, that there was no sin and no separation between the Lord and them. Everything was, as we would say in our daily language, everything was okay. But now, after that separation, then the trouble starts. And now our whole life, that is nothing than a fall of honest, that's all that it is. And day and night, we have all the time a reason to hide ourselves before the Lord and to be feared. There is nobody that can stand before Him, and we are missing the images of God. And what is our life now? 24 hours every day sinning against the Lord. 24 hours. The Lord, He can do nothing else with us than reject us and then cast us away out of His holy sight. Oh, that the Lord gave us together deep impressions of it in our heart, that we humble ourselves before Him in dust and ashes, but that we also receive in our distress and in our wretchedness what we hope to explain to you in this morning hour out of my text, Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Thus far, Paul, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In what respect, on what ground, and for what reason? There was a certain reason why that Paul wrote these words to the congregation of Rome. It seems that he had already many invitations of that city, but there was never an opportunity for him to come to the city. And of course, the devil, he is never quiet. The devil is always busy. He vouchsafed his church and his people and his servants never any rest. He is always behind us, day and night. And so it was with the Apostle Paul too. There was at those times people that say, Paul, he never shall visit Rome. He never shall come to the city because he is afraid to come there. Why? I don't know. But of course they made that remark, the people. And now Paul in our text, he answered that, for which he was blamed. And he wrote to the people, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul, he was a man, he had many enemies. And of course, when we preach the gospel of Christ, then we can expect in the world and in the church nothing else than enemies. The doctrine of that free and sovereign grace that had not so much love. No. Because that doctrine that was preached by Paul and which is preached by God's servants, that is all against men. There is nobody in the world that want to be confirmed and that want to be saved in that way that the Lord has appointed in his word. The world, also in our days, is filled with religion. I think there was never a time that there was so much religion than in our days. You have heard what had taken place a short time ago in New York. Thousands and thousands were baptized by the Jehovah's Witness. Thousands and thousands in a few hours. And they were brought from so many states with buses to their place to be baptized. And then you think I'm Billy Graham. You know the man? You have heard him? I know. But I have heard about him much out of the paper, of course. And then that man, he had so much fruit upon his lips. And thousands of people, that is after his sermon, signing for Christ. And they come through the aisles to the authority, to the front of the church. And then they accepted Christ, and it is well, and they are ready for time and for eternity. You must say, what a time in which we are living now. But now the question is,
Is it that right, doctor? And can we die with it? Finally, it is nothing else than free will. And the same heresy as that Pelagius brought into the church in 450. And the same heresy that came up later on with Arminius, a professor in the Netherlands. There was a time that we have to fight against unbelievers and atheists. But now we have to use the weapons given us by the Lord to fight against that kind of religion that is not based on the Word of God. And it is for our common generation so necessary that they are trained in our doctrine, of which we believe that it is based on the Word of God. And what is necessary to know, shall it be well for the great eternity? Before that I come to the explanation of my text in this morning, I will say two things, two few remarks. Maybe hard to understand for many people, but I hope that the Lord in His condescending mercy give in your hearts that the time may come that you can say yea and amen to that for 100%. And it is in the first place this, that it is a mystery for us to become in a right way a sinner before the Lord. That is a mystery. You hear nothing else in our days then about the lost sinner. You hear that time and again. And a lost sinner saved by Christ. But now God's people who have a little experimental knowledge and in light from above by the illumination of the Holy Spirit that have to pray their whole life, not a year or 2 years, no, but that have to pray their whole life that it may please the Lord to bring him as in a right way as a sinner at his feet. And then people, they say in their prayers, Lord, I don't know what it is. Really? I don't know what it is. And they have learned something of it. And still they are so ignorant what it means to become a sinner before the Lord. They always afraid, yes, not the Jehovah Witnesses and not the followers of Billy Graham, no, but they are always afraid that it is not deep enough, that it is not upright. They are always afraid. Till that the Lord give a stamp upon his own word in wrath. In the second place, there is nothing so concealed and so hidden as the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Shame
is a discouraging passion of the mind. Shame sinks our spirits, and shame enfeebles all the active power. But the bully said, I am not ashamed. As a man, as a Christian, as a minister, as a soldier, and as a captain of faith, in all these respects, he was not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nice points and easy points also for our children, that they can follow it and understand it. Paul, you know the man, of course, in his former life. He was very religious. Oh, he was so comforted in his own eyes. He must not be comforted, no. He was for 30 years a converted man in his own eyes. Because by nature and in a religious way, we don't know what there is lacking and what we are missing in our heart. No. We have no idea of it. We have no knowledge of it. You must say, how is that now possible? We were brought up in the church. We were sitting in the church with our parents from our early days. We have heard what is necessary to salvation and to our eternal welfare all the time. It is true, but still we know nothing about it. Here. We know nothing about it until that the Lord instructs us and that he teaches us by his Holy Spirit what is necessary to know. Paul, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. At the way of the message. On his way to the city to persecute the church of Christ. There the time was that the Lord stopped that man. And that is now such a great wonder. Conversion that is only the work of a triune God. The drawing love of the Father. The redeeming love of the Son. And the calling love of the Holy Spirit. For our conversion we need a triune God. Nothing less than that, people. I tell you, very briefly, the Lord is free of each and every one in this world by virtue of our creation in paradise. In the second place, the Lord made himself free of each and every one with all the warnings and with all the admonitions that he brings unto us. And then that testimony that the Lord gives time and again in our own conscience. And what we hear and what we see before our eyes. Warnings enough, but must it be in this last week for that 99 persons who died there in that ocean
And in another state, 22 people, for whom it became eternity. It's such an awful thing. We hear it, but it makes no impression. No. Why not? All because, and that is the test of ground, because we are dead in trespasses and sin. And because with all our religion we are enemies of God. We have no desire by nature in the ways of the Lord. And if the Lord was not stronger than we are, then there was never hope for us. Never. But in this Sabbath day, I have freedom and I have liberty from the Lord to explain and to proclaim to you that there is hope for the greatest of sins, and that there is nothing too wonderful for him. That Paul, he had the letters of the high priest in his pocket to help him when he came in Damascus. Oh yes, and to give him over to the people there, to bring him in those houses. Oh, everything was ready. But now before that he entered to the gates of the city, then the Lord came. And then immediately that lion, he became a lamb. And here, oh, he had no longer in his mind to persecute the church. He was a captive now. And he was bound by the Lord. And after 3 days and three nights, you know the history, then he was justified. And Christ was revealed in his heart as his personal Savior and mediator. The Lord, he had given that man in a few days many things. Many things. But you have also to observe that man was called to a certain purpose and a special purpose. He needed more than other men, therefore. He was a chosen vessel to proclaim to the Gentiles the gospel of Christ Jesus. And now he said in that text, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of it. No. And why not? Oh, he had known for himself that gospel. And now that gospel of Christ implies good news, glad tidings of great joy to all kind of people. Not to all men in this world, but to all kind of people. Christ, he commanded to preach the gospel to all the nations and to all the creatures. Because that gospel that must be brought over the whole world. And, but now it is coming. Now it is coming, people, that the gospel that is a glad tiding of great joy tidings of eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, health to the sick, strength to the weak, liberty to the captive, life to the dead, salvation to the lost. That is the gospel. And now you can realize that by nature, that there is no room for the gospel in our heart. If we came from this pulpit this morning, and I ask now each and every one, for what purpose he came of you come to the church this morning? For our purpose. How many people is now sitting here amongst us that lay underneath before they came here? And they say, Lord, oh, that now this day, this was the day of false salvation for my soul. That I received now as one word in this Sabbath day, one thought, one smile, that you apply it now to my heart. Most of the people that come because it is Sabbath, it is Sunday. And most of the people that come as a custom, of course, and boys and girls because their parents, they want that they come to the church. And last there was a place that came a man and they asked him, why you come to the church? Oh, he said, I come here to find faults all the time. For that reason I come to the church. Some people come to criticize out of curiosity. But many different reasons why that men come to the church, but now to come with an empty heart and soul. And that they say, Lord, oh, that it pleased thee. Oh, that now that gospel, that it is was for my soul and for my life. Because if we are come under the power of the Holy Spirit and under the illumination of that Spirit, then there comes a time in our life, people, that we don't know in what way and through what manner that we must be comforted. For that reason, David in our Psalter, he said, teach me the way that I have to go. Instruct me. If the Lord starts with us, people, that is a very good sign, then we don't know. Then we don't know if the Lord starts with us. And then by day and by night, we are crying unto the Lord for light and understanding. And then we say, Lord, it is so dark everywhere, I don't know the way. And I don't know whether that I became comforted, I don't know. But they only know one thing, and that is that they are uncomforted. Then they know that. And that they are wretched, and that they are empty. And that they are lost. And now for that people is that gospel. For lost and undone and sinful creatures. For people that was trying everything to be saved. Because in our days, the people is not talking about Adam and about Moses, no. And about the fall of Adam, no, no. That was 300 years ago, they say. Yeah. They say 300-400 years ago, they bothered with Adam. But not we. No. No. When we come on the pulpit, we start with Christ, and we preach Christ for a pure sin, poor sinner. No, that's impossible. Because if there is no subject, then we need no object. There must be a subject. That must be. You have no prison here in the Patterson. I hear that is in trend. But we have a more problem in the world. Braces. And it is a great wonder that we not are in there. Oh, you think maybe not never about to guess. And you say, oh Lord, what a wonder that I was sitting there. We not better as a people, no. And it takes not so long in our life when we are there. Oh yes, but I cannot go into that in this moment, the time is too short. But Jan Knox, you know that he was preaching once for the government in England, and that queen, that she was so mad of him, because he had the text, old generation of fighters, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And she said that is a text when you have to preach in jail and in a prison, then that is a good text. And then he said, no. When I am invited to preach in a jail, then I take a kind of that text that the Lamb of God takes away all the sins of the world. Then I take that text. And you can imagine, if I was privileged tomorrow, I give you a little example, simple example. If I now was privileged, boys, that I could go to Trenton tomorrow, to that jail, and that one of the judges here in Paterson has given me that permit and that privilege to say to 10 or 200 of that people that is in Trenton, I have the privilege to bring to you that glad tidings. At 3 o'clock in this afternoon, you can go out and you can go home to your family and to your friends. Oh, I think I was welcome there. I was welcome. Of course, you can understand. And then especially if there was now in the trend of in New York, all people that was sentenced to death, that have to die, and that was waiting for the hour of death. Oh, you can imagine. When I could say to them, you are free, you have nothing to die. What an awful thing it is. What an awful thing. To hear that we have to die, that we have to appear before the Lord, that we are lost forever and forever. But now to hear that glad tidings, that there is salvation in Christ Jesus, in that only name that is given under heaven, by whom we must be saved. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Paul, he was boasting. He had experience for his own heart the contents of that gospel. And when he came on the pulpit, he knew what he had to tell the people. There are so many, they know nothing else than that they have read in the back in the books. And that they have heard of other people. But that is a poor sermon, you can imagine. But if you have now on the pulpit people that can explain to you what the gospel is, what the contents of the gospel is, that they have experienced it for himself, that it was declared and that it was applied, and that it was confirmed for their own heart, oh, you can imagine with what liberty and with what boldness and with what freedom that they can talk, to think about a billion, as so many other of the people that we have in the church before, with such a boldness that they explain the gospel. And why was it now that Paul was boasting about that gospel? He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. In our fallen Adam, we became not devils or animals, but we remained men. And now it is so, we have no more a free will. No, we are slaves of the devil and victims of sin if the Lord never stops in us. We are dead in trespasses and sin, but not as the people that lay on the cemetery, because their people can do nothing. But we are dead in trespasses and sin in such a way that we are not dead to place ourselves against the Lord with all our enmity in our heart against Him and His ways. And now the power of God unto salvation, what means that? That now the power of God that breaks by the power in my heart that I have against the Lord. If it now come to the question, do you want to be converted and be saved? Then there is nobody that would say yes in that way and manner as the Lord wants to convert and to save us. We have no desire to. No. One said, I am too young. And one said, I will have some pleasure of the world for some time. I am so young to have that life. That is so narrow-minded. And then we can do nothing else. Then we have to separate ourselves from the world. To withdraw ourselves from this and from that. So we stop. But inwardly, it is impossible to leave our sins here. That is impossible for men. We made a covenant with the devil in paradise. And we want to serve him. We want to serve him. There came somebody to Bunyan once, in one of his books, and then that man, he said, you promised the devil to serve him to all eternity, and now you break that oath. You break it. And then Bunyan, he said, yes, I broke, but I never come back. I never come back. In his own strength and power? No. Because the Lord, he protects and he keeps his people. And what a blessing that now that gospel of Christ, that it is a power unto salvation. And that is a power unto salvation. As long as I live on earth. In the first place, the Lord have to use his power to break that tie that is in my heart with the world and with sin. That's in the first place. And then it starts, of course, when the Lord entered into our hearts. And then he uncovered and discovered what an enemy I am of that free and sovereign grace. Because I am born under a broken covenant of work. And I want to be saved, through my own work and my own righteousness, I want it. And I have no desire to accept the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. I want to be saved in my own way. And the Lord, he said, never. He said, never. I am an enemy when the law breaks me off. Oh, yes. The way to heaven leads through hell. The way to heaven leads through hell. And I do not want that way. No. I want a Christian. I want to be converted. I want joy in my life and rest. I want another way, as that the Lord has appointed in his word. I want not discovered and uncovered in my own, in myself. No. No. I have no desire at all in the way of the Lord. And now, the Lord's way is Romans 5, that enemies are reconciled with God. And saved and reconciled only by his life. But as enemies, not as converted men, and not as righteous men, and not as men that have so much to say in this world, and that can stand before the Lord. Oh, I won't be reconciled as a friend, not as an enemy. No. And I want nothing of that. I want to go through this world glad and with joy in my heart. And what the, you know what the Lord's way is with that people? Oh, to lay all my burdens and crosses upon his shoulders. And that they learn more and more what the great enemies they are of the Lord. That is what they have to learn. A power unto salvation. In our natural state and way, then there is nothing so awful for us than that there is a God in heaven. Yes, it was much easier in life for an uncomforted people, amen, if there was no God. Then we could do what we want to do. But we are soon in hell. I can tell you that. Then we are soon in hell. And now after regeneration, people, then the Lord, he uncovers what there is here inside. And if we have to lay that on the table in this Sabbath, then I give you these assurance that there was really no man in the whole world that ever would look to you and do you. Never. If we have to lay it down on the table, what takes place here in the world. Oh, that is so awful, people. That is so awful that a man have no courage to ever tell it to his wife. And that wife, even when the life is so close to married life, that they tell to one another all the problems and all the riddles of their life, but that boy, no. No. They never can tell it. They are ashamed of it. Ashamed. Sometimes they awake in the morning, and then, oh, they lay on their knees and they say, Lord, all the wandering thoughts of this last night, and what there had taken place, what there came up in my mind and in my thoughts. I never on the daytime I am thinking about, but now in the night. Now in the night. Oh, there's nothing else than destruction. And oh, now it became Sunday, I know that, and I want to pray the whole night. Yeah. I want to prepare myself before the Lord. I want to have heavenly thoughts in my mind. Oh, really, really. Yes, really. David, he said, when I awake, I am with you. And in another place, three times in one night, and I was standing up to praise thy wonderful name and works. And if we are comforted by the Lord, then that is our desire. And it is the longing of our heart. The longing of our heart. But what is now the outcome? What is now the outcome of people? And how here inside? And how and nothing else? Oh. I want that I could explain it all to you, as in Holland, but yeah, that is impossible. But oh, people, what I will say is this. We have in our life, we have to experience so many things of that made us so discouraged and so disappointed. Time and again. And then we have to say, Lord, is that now necessary? Is that now necessary? Oh, Lord. Really, my life have no value in this world. I want another life. I want another life. Lord, you know that I want, but, oh, a slave, and then uncomfortable, hard thoughts sometimes about the Lord. And then they say, oh Lord, I don't know. But now that gospel that is in power, the power of God unto salvation. And the Lord Jesus, he said, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth. And unto him is given power upon all flesh. And then we are so glad, boy, in the light that the Lord is the Almighty God. And that he is stronger than I am, stronger than the devil. Stronger than the world, and that he had to speak and it is to commence and it stands firm. It is a power of God unto salvation. He can break the power of sin. He can break the power of the corruption of sin. He can break the power of the devil. He can break my enmity against him. And empower unto salvation. But unto salvation, that is now only people for such men that learn in himself that they are wretched creatures. Wretched. Not here, but here people. And all that is that place, the stamp upon their whole life here on earth. Really, the wretchedness of the life. And for that people, for those who is no place in this world, because the Lord, he closed all the doors here on earth, and they never shall find their way, and they shall never find rest, and pleasure and desire and to have the delight here, no, they find everywhere they go death. Everywhere.
and in their own heart too. But there are moments for that people that they are so glad, and that they said, our hope is on Jehovah's stay. In him our hearts are joyful made. 87, the last stanza. Our help and shield is he, our trust is in his holy name. Thy mercy, Lord, in faith we claim, as we have hoped in thee. 87, the last stanza. To salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth, thus, that is in our hand to believe. Is that in our hand? Can we believe? No. Faith is a gift of the Lord. And by nature, there we all lay in a state of unbelief, all of us. If the Lord regenerates the soul, then at that time he is delivered out of that state of unbelief. But then afterwards he comes in a condition of unbelief, same as with Thomas. And then there are people that want to believe, but they cannot believe. And then they say, who shall I ever believe that now salvation is for me, and that Christ came in this world for me? I ever shall believe that now. I want to do it, but I cannot do it. Oh, then they look to something, to the stars of heaven. And then they say, Lord, so impossible that it now is to pluck the stars from the sky. So impossible is it to believe. Oh, Lord, give me a little of it in my heart. But it is a power unto salvation to every that believes. Everyone. And now at God's appointed time, not on our time, no, and not when I figure it out, people, but on the Lord's time, then he gives us that gift in our heart. And when Christ and his righteousness is imputed to our soul, because first the sin of Adam is imputed to us, the sin of Adam, but also the sin, the righteousness of Christ must be imputed unto us, free and sovereign. And then when the Lord imputes that righteousness of Christ to our soul, then in the meantime he gives also that faith to accept. And that is not perfect here in this world. No, that is all imperfect till the people die.
One time they have it there, another time they are missing. So it goes. But it is a power unto salvation, unto each and everyone that believeth. Thus is we, if we now receive that faith, then the Lord shall receive only the honor of it. Because he is worthy to receive that honor, he made room for it and he gave it as a free gift in our heart. And then he said, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew, that was that chosen people. And then to the Greek, to the Gentiles, because the word Greek, that means here, all kind of nations and all the different nations, the Greek, that means all the Gentiles in the amongst the different nations here on earth. The Jew first, and also to the Greek. That word that have different meanings, the last part, we can apply that literally, first to the Jews and then to the Greek. Literally. You see that in the Bible, Christ, he said, it is not allowed to take the bread of the children and to cast them for the ducks. But then that woman, he said, yes, Lord, I agree with you. But also the dogs, they are eating of the crumbs who are fallen from their master's table. And then after the resurrection of Christ, and that he was on his way to ascend it into heaven, then he commanded his disciples first to preach the gospel to the Jews. He said, begin from Jerusalem. They were the greatest murderers of Christ. And they have to preach there first. And then to the Samaritans. And then over the whole world. But now in experimental sense. Now experimental. First to you. And then to the Greek. Now in the way to heaven. Then we are first a Jew, and later on then we become a Greek. You can follow it? First a Jew, and then a Greek. Because in the later part of our life, the fall of Adam, they come more and more open to us. Without God in the world. And then in the end of our life, we have to learn things that we never have learned before in the world. But then, oh, then it becomes such a one. First to you, and then the Greek. And when I lay on my deathbed, people, and I am a Greek, then, oh, that I say, oh, Lord, it is all foolishness to me. It was for that you was the cross a stumble block. And for the Greek foolishness, oh, that is now the outcome with me too. It is foolishness to my carnal nature and mind. But then a power unto salvation. And Lazarus, he was carried in the bosom of Abraham. Not on his own feet, people know. And power unto salvation, first to you and then to Greek. It is too bad that the time is gone, because there are so many other things to explain it all about the life of God's people, but oh, I think we come never on an end. No. We shall never come to an end here. Because that well, that is so deep, people. That is so deep to explain the sovereign love and the sovereign grace of the Lord. And out him and through him and to him are all things. Unto him are all the glory. But now it is in question, young and old, great and small. Paul, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that gospel that became for him, for that hell-worthy sinner, a glad time. Was there now ever a time, boys and girls, men and women,
in our life that we became sinners before the Lord. Offer then now everything that the Lord enlightened us. With his spirit. Oh, Patterson, it shall something, it shall be something. If you are lost under all those warnings and all those admonitions and under all the labors bestowed upon you, if it shall testify in the great day of judgment, oh, it shall be awful and be awful if we have to die uncomforted. And then the great salvation under which we were, even in this morning, it is laid before your feet. It is laid before you. It is placed before you. Oh, harden not your hearts. But that it now is broke for us. Oh, we are harder than that brick of that church. We are harder than that brick of that church. Because if I take tomorrow a hammer, then I can break those stubborn. But not your heart, no. That only is by the power of the Holy Spirit, but of children. In your early days, it is now the time to be converted. Not when you are 50 and 60 and 70. But in your early days, remember your Creator. Oh, that the Lord made you in your youth to sin before him, and to cry unto him for mercy and for grace in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, that door that is open for the greatest of sinners. But oh, that is now the trouble, people. We are no sinners. We are no sinners. And we cannot make ourselves a sinner. We cannot make ourselves a sinner. The Lord, only the Lord can do it. And that he may do it in our midst in this seventh day. That it not was in vain for us. But that the Lord may glorify his grace. And in the hearts of his people to break all that power. All that power against that free and sovereign grace. And that way, saved only by faith. All that he break it, that he make room for that gospel in our hearts. And that we boasting in that gospel, and that we elevate it as our gladness and our joy for time and for eternity. And that the God of all grace apply these words to our heart and our soul salvation. Amen. The fourth stanza, only the fourth, to all the nations of the earth, the blessed tidings bring. Tell all the world Jehovah's reigns, the universal King. Number 257, the fourth stanza. Thank you.